The batteries in your cell phone, the glass and solar panels, and other important materials all depend on rare earth minerals, and that's leading to a new mining rush in the West. The Mountain West News Bureau's Will Walkie reports from a potential mining site in southeast Wyoming.
I'm hiking up a steep hillside of public land in the Laramie Mountains, overlooking a tiny meandering stream. I passed cacti, some animal droppings, and lots of rocks.
Do my best to follow the deer tracks and not tumble down this mountain.
Looking for signs of drilling activity, I found a few wooden stakes from surveys. This site is located down a sparsely populated dirt road in between a couple of ranches.
In a decade or so, this whole thing could be a mine. That would be a big change.
How big? Well, this site could be on top of the largest known rare earth deposit in North America.
We knew it was going to be big. We didn't know it was going to be a monster, in the good sense of the word.
That's Mel Sanderson, North American president of American Rare Earths. The company has about 8,000 acres of mining claims on federal, private, and state lands. This year, it said exploratory drilling results estimate that there are almost 5 million tons of rare earth oxides beneath the surface.
I like to flatter myself to think that rare earth can be for Wyoming what coal has been, and provide a link to that green and sustainable economy.
So why is this a big deal? Rare earths are a group of 17 elements that are far down the periodic table, with names I still struggle to pronounce, like neodymium and praseodymium. Patty Weber with the Wyoming State Geological Survey says they're in products you may use on a daily basis.
Specialty glass products, steel making, batteries, kind of an endless list of other applications where their unique composition makes them very difficult to replace.
That's why the U.S. Geological Survey designated most of them as critical for economic and national security. China dominates the rare earths market, and there aren't many operating American mines. So, the Biden administration wants to expand the country's supply through domestic development.
Rare earth elements themselves are not actually rare. Rare earths are considered rare in an economic sense because they don't occur in high concentrations in most minerals.
But this discovery in Wyoming is unusual because the elements are highly concentrated and not very radioactive. Geologists in Montana, Colorado, and Idaho say they also may have some rare earth deposits worth exploring. The American Rare Earths Mine likely won't be fully operational for at least 30 years. That's because permits, environmental reviews, and other prep work take a long time. But as the company ramps up operations, it could mean hundreds of local jobs, says Sanderson.
We're going to need supervisors. We're going to need folks that can repair the conveyor belts. We're going to need a whole garage system that keeps our fleet of vehicles running.
The closest town to American Rare Earths claims is Wheatland, an agricultural center of around 3,500. Tracy DeReich heads the local economic development group.
Our newest thing that is coming to town is there's going to be a Wendy's in town, so people are excited about that.
Unlike other Wyoming towns, Wheatland isn't very involved in energy. DeReich says the economy has been slightly declining recently, and school enrollment is dropping. So locals may embrace a project like this.
I think that to some extent they want to grow, but I think they want it to be a planned growth. So I don't think that they just want a huge influx of people to drive up housing prices and create infrastructure issues.
There could be other concerns. This Wyoming site would likely be an open pit mine, which in the past has led to air and water contamination. Other so-called green energy sites in the region, like a lithium mine in Nevada, have spurred conflicts with tribal communities. American Rare Earths pledges to protect the environment around their mine. Still, advocates say as demand for these critical minerals grows, more conflicts are inevitable in the West. So, they say planning needs to happen early, and all affected parties need to be at the table. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Will Walkie in Platte County, Wyoming.
And our senior producer, Samantha Wright, sat down with Will Walkie to find out more. Let's take a listen.
Okay, Will, your story talked about how there could be almost 5 million tons of rare earth minerals underground in America. Is that right?
You know, much more than that, actually. There's 5 million tons of rare earth elements just under one claim that I went to in Wyoming. And most companies that you read about and some that I talk to have said, You know, there's plenty of these all over the West, you know, and rare earth elements. What's interesting about them is, despite their name, they're not actually that rare. You know, they're found all over the Earth's crust. But what is unique about them is they're not usually in concentrations that are actually mineable in an economical sense, so to speak. So, you know, these mines like the one that I went to in Wyoming are interesting and unique and exciting for mining companies because they're in a concentration where if we start digging a big hole, it's going to actually make them some money.
Wow. I thought one of the shocking bits of the story is that the place you went to in Wyoming, you said that they couldn't get a mine up and running for at least 30 years. That's some long-term planning.
Yeah, so it's not exactly accurate. What I meant by the 30 years is that's going to be when it's sort of the full-scale operation. I mean, yeah, when we talk about rare earths, this is a long-term play, especially in the Mountain West. It's going to be about 5 years until actual drilling activity starts, but you know, it starts small and you know, this is a remote part of Wyoming. We got to hire people. We got to build roads. We got to get infrastructure. So yeah, that 30-year timeline is sort of when we're talking about, you know, massive, massive production scale.
When you mentioned it is a small place and that places like this, when a mine or major industry comes in, it's going to dramatically change not just the landscape, but the character of everything around it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Wyoming has a big mining history, as does Idaho and other states around the West. But this town that I went to, which is the closest one to this town, it's probably where most of the workers at a future mine would live. It's called Wheatland. It's got about 3,500 people. It's mostly agricultural. You know, there's the local school and the local hospital system. One of the people that I talked to for this story said sort of one of the main big things happening in Wheatland is that a Wendy's is coming in town, right? So, you know, in a boom bust cycle that energy and mining often brings, you know, it's going to be an influx of people quickly. And, you know, for a community like Wheatland, the question is, how do we make it sustainable and still enjoyable for those that are already living there?
That's right. And because it will change the character, and it's a big deal. I mean, it's a really big deal. You mentioned infrastructure, and I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, along with how the character will change, you do have to do all those things in these remote areas, build roads and other things that will be needed to sustain the mine.
Yeah, one thing that didn't make it into my story is that the economic development director in Wheatland told me is, you know, there's only a few dozen homes available in the town of Wheatland, like available for sale right now. And we're talking potentially hundreds of jobs that could, you know, you add on the families that come with that. So, you know, when you even just look at housing and where people are going to live, we don't really even have the room for it now. So, you know, the 30-year timeline or even a 5 to 10-year timeline, depending on how quickly things get approved, you know, communities should start thinking now if they're near a mining site about what it might look like if a bunch of people start showing up.
That's right. And you also talked about there are geologists who say there could be more of these kinds of rare earth deposits in Montana, Colorado, and of course, this piqued our interest, Idaho.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for the entire West, the so-called green energy boom, which includes, you know, these minerals that I studied in the story, but also things that your listeners are probably familiar with, including cobalt and lithium. You know, the West is an interesting geological place with a huge history of providing some of the main rocks that we like to dig up, like uranium and coal even. And, you know, I think as we transition away from fossil fuels and toward green energy, which still does need some of these rare minerals, the West is going to be a big part of that story.
And you touched on just a little bit that this would be, the one in Wyoming would be an open pit mine. And that has led to, in the past, you know, concerns environmentalists not liking open pit mines. That's another thing we have to balance in there is the environment.
Not only environmental concerns, that's absolutely right, but also when we think about, you know, the greater question of what it's going to look like in terms of green mineral mining around the West, also the impact on indigenous rights. You know, a lot of the nickel and cobalt and lithium mines that are being proposed and probably will be proposed around our region are going to be near indigenous communities, and they might have to bear the brunt of some of those environmental impacts and social impacts, right? And environmental impacts being dust, for instance, and air quality pollution from open pit mining, or water pollution from runoff and streams and the tailings of these mines. And so, you know, a lot of this is going to come down to how much will these mining companies keep their promises. You know, the ones that I talk to say they want to clean this up. We'll see if that actually happens. But I think it's going to be up to the journalists and the local community members around here to kind of hold them accountable.
You mentioned in the story a lithium mine in Nevada that has run into some trouble with tribal communities.
Yes, this is something that's been covered heavily by regional and also national journalists. It's right near a very sacred site for a tribal community in Nevada. But lithium, similar to some of these rare earth minerals that I studied around Wyoming, lithium is used in so many things that we enjoy every day just as citizens of the United States. You know, these minerals are used in cell phone batteries. You know, a lot of them are used in like wind turbine generation and glass and solar panels even. So, you know, like I said, as we continue to transition away from fossil fuels and towards new sources of energy, we're going to need more of these mines, and more of these conflicts are going to keep happening.
Well, if you like your cell phone, you're going to need the parts that make it work.
Exactly.
So, Will, what was it like to go out to this spot in Wyoming on public land? I mean, is it pretty out there? Is there anything out there besides the town?
Sure. Yeah, this is a really remote landscape. There's a couple of ranches in between these mining claims, which I should say are huge. You know, we're talking thousands of acres here, and it's on a mix of public land and private land and state land. You know, those that have lived in the West for a long time know, you know, the checkerboard pattern of land ownership that exists in our region, right? So I wasn't able to see, you know, the entire site by any means, but I got to do some hiking around. It's beautiful. I mean, it's rolling hills, you know, it's certainly not crowded by any means, but it's big open space in Wyoming down a dirt road. I mean, it's kind of one of the reasons I like living here is to explore places like these. And, you know, you're looking around when you kind of, you know, take a busy, you're looking around after you take a tough hike to the top of a mountain. You know, I'm breathing heavy, but I'm looking out at this largely untouched landscape. You know, you don't really get that very much throughout the United States. And Wyoming is just one of those places where open space is still here. And, you know, in terms of the site, you could barely even see there's been some exploratory experimental drilling activity, but I didn't really see much. So I was looking mostly at cacti and animal droppings and deer trails and things like that.
Wow. Okay. So what's next? For the Wyoming site and for the West when it comes to these rare earth minerals.
Right. I think a lot of companies are sort of making these sort of announcements at the same time, you know, partially because the Biden administration and other folks have said we want to up the domestic supply of rare earth mines. A lot of companies that have held mining claims are now starting to explore. And, you know, you mentioned different spots in Montana, also Wyoming, you know, other parts of the West. A lot of places are announcing these sorts of, hey, we just found a huge site. So what happens next is, you know, now they have to start raising money. They need to start their permitting process, you know, hiring up lawyers and things like that. And doing more experimental drilling, you know, and then after that is when they start, you know, proposing to federal governments and going to these communities and saying, this is what the mine will actually look like. So we're still very early in the process. You know, a lot remains to be seen what the actual impacts will be. But, you know, in a decade from now, I could be back here and we could be talking about a bunch of open pit mines that are being dug actively throughout the West.
Wow. Okay. Will Waukee, Mountain West News Bureau, talking about rare earth minerals and mining in the West. Thanks so much for giving us an update.
Thank you for having me.
And that was Will Waukee with the Mountain West News Bureau speaking with our senior producer, Samantha Wright. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.